It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Victory Sunday. I'm so excited. I thought I was the only excited person until I heard the MC speak. That she's always excited when it's Easter. Same goes for me. It's not just Christmas. Easter. Whether you call it Easter or call it another name doesn't really matter much to me. What's important is the essence of the season, what we celebrate this season. This is why we're called Christians. This is the core, is at the very core of our Christianity. The death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The finished works of Christ. He's ascended up on high and seated right at the right hand of the Father, where he's making intercession for us. So we're never alone. If not for the resurrection of the dead, championed by Christ himself, our faith, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, would be in vain. There'll be nothing to preach. There'll be nothing to have faith in. Because it will mean that everybody will come to this life, live any way you want to live, die anyhow, and that's the end of it. And doomed to hell. But glory be to God that made a way out of hell. Jesus tasted death for every man so that no man will have to taste death again if they accept what he has done on their behalf. Hell was not designed for man. It was made for Satan and his rebellious angels who have become demons. Any human being that goes to hell would have gone there as an uninvited guest. And the reason they would go, the only reason they would go, is they have refused the finished works of Christ, what is done for them. But if anyone would accept Christ into their heart to be their Lord and Savior, they have no business in hell. So we have hope of eternal salvation, that when our time is up here in this realm of time, we'll be with him in the realm of eternity. For to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Our celebration goes beyond the rice and chicken of this season. I want you to get home or get back to your work or get back to your hostel and reflect on the salvation of your soul and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take you through some scriptures. So my message may be longer. I planned it to be shorter, but it might be longer because I'm going to take you through some scriptures so you can have a proper grounding of your salvation. Some of us don't even know. You don't understand the salvation message. That's why you have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. New doctrines coming up here and there. Let me say this to you ahead of time. You don't need a new word. You don't need a new word. You don't need a new doctrine. You don't need a new word. What you need is a now word. Can I have an amen to that? A better amen. Amen. Especially those of you on the campuses that are exposed to all kinds of teachers, the didaskalosis, who have made themselves apostles of the New Testament, who really do understand what they are saying. They don't, many of them don't understand it. They have the head knowledge. Understanding goes beyond knowledge. Spiritual understanding is so key that Paul the Apostle asks us to pray for it. In Colossians, in chapter 1, and put that on the screen for me, verse 9, Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we had it, not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Understanding is key. Understanding is key. We're not talking about head knowledge. You might understand all the Greek and the Aramaic of the Bible. Understand the Hebrew words. The letter killeth. It is the Spirit that giveth life. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Understanding. That's why it's called spiritual. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual understanding. It's not seminary understanding. It's not Bible school understanding. It's not somebody's. No, this is spiritual understanding. And it is very key. One of the things that Jesus did after he rose from the dead was to fellowship with the apostles. And when he fellowship with them and he talked to them and they didn't understand. They didn't know it was Jesus. And the Bible says, then opened he their understanding to understand the scriptures. It was Luke that captured that, and I think in chapter 24. Then opened he their understanding to understand the scripture. I said, Lord, what have they been doing all this while? What have they been doing? Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding, not their knowledge, their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. In this season of your life, I want you to seek spiritual understanding. I didn't tell you to go running after people and hearing all kind of messages that confuse you. There's no way you are hearing different preachers and you'll not be confused. This one says something. The next moment, another preacher comes up and says something contrary to what that one said. And say, Lord, which one do we believe? I was like that years ago. If I'm a very voracious reader and eater of the word of God. But at some point, I thought, look, I went to a believers meeting. Pastors were there. In fact, it was a pastors meeting. And a particular man of God that I respected so much spoke about another man of God that I respected so much. And began to tear down his doctrines. I used to listen to this one. And I thought I was really blessed. Now, I've also listened to this one. And he has also blessed me. But this one that blesses me, is now tearing down another one that blesses me. I would never forget that day. I was going home. And I didn't have a car. I was just walking home. And I lifted up my eyes with my Bible in my hands. I said, Lord, please teach me. Because I don't know which one to believe anymore. Seek spiritual understanding. Don't be proud. Seek spiritual understanding. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. When it comes alive, the same scripture you've read over the years that didn't mean much to you will begin to have meaning to you. And when your understanding comes alive, you will begin to do what the word says. The difference between knowledge and understanding is that people can gather knowledge and do nothing with it. But the moment it translates into spiritual understanding, you will not need to be told. You will find it as the thing to do. The thing to do. The thing to do. When you have understanding, for example, of the subject of prayer, everybody knows something about prayer. Everybody prays in a way, whether it's a regular prayer life or haphazard prayer or occasional prayer, you know something about prayer, knowledge. But why don't you pray like you should pray? Like we really should be praying. Why are we not praying like that? After all, Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. But why is it that we don't always pray? Because we still lack understanding in that area. But the moment it comes alive, you will pray like no man's business. When you come to understanding of the subject of prayer, you will discover that prayer for the Christian is like the oxygen you breathe. You can't do without it. If they seize your air, if they seize your oxygen for 1 hour, I'm not sure you can survive it. So when the understanding of the subject of prayer comes alive, you will pray every time. You will do what Jesus said, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray. Always, 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 always to pray. I heard from my father in the Lord, Architect Alex Adegwe, an encounter between the man of God Lester Sumrall and Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a man of God that God used tremendously. He was a plumber. He was making money in England as a plumber. But God called him to the ministry. And he said to God, okay, yes, I will. So he went to the ministry. And God began to use him tremendously. In his ministry, throughout his ministry, at least 14 people were raised from the dead. 14 people. If anybody died and they told Smith Wigglesworth, he would go and raise the person from the dead. There was a woman that was sick and he was praying for her into the dead of the night. He went to her house to pray for her. And in the course of the prayer, the woman died. Normally, we just give up and say, well, thank God, we tried our best. She has gone home to rest. Not Smith Wigglesworth. He would not take no for an answer. He prayed until the woman came back to life. He was that kind of person. On another occasion, he was away, he came back, and they told him that his wife had died. He just lifted her up, put her against the wall, and said, work in the name of Jesus. His own wife. The woman came back alive. At some point, the woman said she wanted to go home, and the Lord actually ministered to him to release her at some point after that encounter. And he went on with his ministry after the woman had gone home to be with the Lord. Closer study of that man said that he didn't pray more than 30 minutes per time. But no 30 minutes would pass him by without him praying. So one day, Lester Sumrall, who then was in his 20s, a minister of God also on fire, he went to visit this older minister. Smith Wigglesworth was now in his 80s, an elderly man. When he got to his house, he thought, oh, well, geez, and then he would tell me about ministry and everything. Welcomed him, sat together at the table. He had a small Bible, New Testament Bible. And he read that, and he read it for 30 minutes. After reading it for 30 minutes, he went on his knees and prayed for 30 minutes. Finished praying, he got back up, opened his New Testament, began to read again. And of course, Lester Sumrall also began to read with him. I mean, when you come to see someone, that's what they're doing. That's a culture. That's a culture to imbibe. He read another 30 minutes, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the epistles, 30 minutes. After that, he went back 30 minutes on his knees to pray. Praying the Holy Ghost, 30 minutes. And then when he was done praying for 30 minutes, he went back again to his New Testament. He read again 30 minutes. After that 30 minutes, he went back again to pray for 30 minutes. And when it was time for lunch, they came to call him, you know, to serve him their potato and all these things that those white people eat. And then the two of them ate at the dining. And after that, he went back to his Bible 30 minutes and then prayed 30 minutes and said to the young man, see you another time. What a life. Why would he do that? He didn't pray for more than 30 minutes. But not 30 minutes were passing by without praying. Because he had spiritual understanding of the power of prayer. As he was reading the New Testament, reading the Bible 30 minutes, you know what he was doing? He was renewing his mind. The power of a renewed mind. I pray I get there today in my message. Because I really want to teach. And I want you to go with me. And if you flow with me from beginning to the end, I believe this will do a surgical operation in your spirit man and in your soul. And God will be glorified in your life in the name of Jesus. Only two people came to church. And if you are sleeping now, it's too early to sleep and that's a sin. Don't commit a sin here. We're going to be in Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. It is the resurrection story from verse 1 to 53. So we're going to be reading together. Amen. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Somebody say, he's not here. The tomb is empty. They found the tomb empty. By the way, the title of my message is, the tomb is empty. He's not, amen, praise God. At least one person is excited. Glory to God. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now the angels were telling them, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11, to the disciples, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. Actually, people that understand the Jewish culture said the way Jesus folded the napkin, the linen napkin that was used to wrap his face, the way he folded it was to mean, it was to pass across a message. And the message is that I'll come back. I'll return. The way he folded it. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They didn't know it was Jesus. Like Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, but I knew it not. Jesus was with them, but they didn't know it was him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are said? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? He didn't know he was talking to Jesus. And has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Like a novice, like he didn't know. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. He must have said a kika. They were telling him about himself. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted that. And beside all this, today is the third day since the things were done. They were trying to inform him. Can you inform God? This is what we do in the place of prayer many times. That's why some prayers are not answered, because they're not prayers. Lord, you know my situation. You know how long I've been suffering this condition. You know, da, 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 da. You know, Lord, it's not fair. Lord, you know what's happening. Can you inform the Lord? Does he not know already? So pray the promise, not the problem. That's why somebody came to church this morning, to hear that. Pray the promise, not the problem. And how can you get the promise? It's in the word. This is the word of promise. Pray the word. This is the solution book. And it doesn't matter how long you pray the problem. God will not hear. He doesn't hear problems. He hears his will. And his word is his will. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. It was the women that went there first. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. He's alive and well. Amen. He's not sick this morning, and he's not in the hospital. He's not in the tomb. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. Can I have an amen? And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, he now revealed himself, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, now he began to teach them the word. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They were beginning to have understanding now. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it. Shouldn't they have known? This was the custom of Jesus. Jesus would never eat without blessing his food. I've taught my children that way. You don't ever eat your meal without blessing it first to give thanks to God. I was in America one year, and the people that hosted me, they said, Pastor, we have learned this from you. Anytime we're at the table, they'll be watching me. Pastor will pray now. He will pray, and I'll pray. One time, we were eating. We were about to eat, and as I was going to bless the food in America, they would say, want to say grace. No, Pastor's going to say grace. I'm going to say grace. As I began to say grace, the husband had put some food in his mouth. He said, ah! So his mouth was open, wide, ajar. He just stayed right there. It happened about 2-3 times on that trip. I said, Pastor, why do you always catch me every time? I said, I'm not looking for you. So there's no point catching you. But you should have known that this is part of me. I learned that from Jesus. Here, he had resurrected from the dead. And he came to show himself to them. And he sat at meat to eat with them. And the first thing he did was to bless the bread. He blessed it and then broke it and then gave to them. The moment he did that, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Disappeared, just like that. Wow! And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, something was bearing witness that this person is just weird. This might be the Lord, but our heart burnt within us. And they rose up the same hour. It was late in the evening. They couldn't wait till the next morning. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is risen indeed. And he has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and now he was none of them in breaking of bread. So after this service today, we're going to break bread. Can I have an amen? I like it when we break bread. I like it when we do communion together as a family. No sickness and no disease, no medical condition will survive this service today in the name of Jesus. Normally, communion Sunday is first Sunday of the month, but the Lord ministered that to my heart, and I felt the need for us to do so. And as they thus spake, they brought the good news. They brought the good news back to Jerusalem from Emmaus. And as they were speaking the good news, Jesus himself, King Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them. And the Lord is in this service this morning. I said the Lord is in this service this morning. If he tells me to shut up at any time while I'm preaching this, to pray or to do anything, I promise I'm going to do that. He's the head of the church. The Lord is in this service this morning. Receive your healing now in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need, whatever you stand in need of, the Lord is here, is in this service this morning. Receive it now. Don't wait till the end of the service. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Stood in the midst of them, and guess what the Lord said? This is what he says every time he appears. Shalom. Translated, peace be unto you. It's not just peace. It's not just tranquility. The word shalom is translated, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. It is the word prosperity. Calmness of mind. Anxieties must leave in the presence of the Lord. When he shows up, if you have anxiety disorder, it must go. Because in the presence of the Lord, depression must disappear. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, thou will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of depression. Talk to me, what do you have in your Bible? Fullness of what? Joy. And at your right hand, suffering forevermore. What do you have? Come on, talk. You're not convinced. Are you convinced? What do you have at his right hand? Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures. Not hustle forevermore. Hustle! No. Pleasures forevermore. I want you to renew your mind. Stop the life of hustling. Stop the hustle. Work hard. Work smart. Report to work at the right time. Don't go late. Submit your project at the right time. Don't wait until the 11th hour. Deliver your customers jobs when they give you jobs to do. Do your best. Physically speaking, humanly speaking, trust him for what you cannot do, which is the blessing. But stop the hustle. Hustle, struggling, toiling, not from God. Part of the manifestation of the curse was when the Lord said to Adam, out of the sweat of your face will you eat bread. That's the origin of hustling. Hard labor, little to show for it. Plenty effort, little result. No? Not anymore in the name of Jesus. Because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. As a fashion designer, you make one garment and there will be many orders. Because people will see that garment on someone else's, maybe DP or maybe on your DP or your social media, whatever, handle. And then they will begin to place orders for it in the name of Jesus. It's not that you do plenty and nobody's patronizing you. No. No. Are you with me, church? Peace be unto you. Say, that's me. Three people said that. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has no flesh and bones as you see me have. Notice, he didn't say a spirit has no flesh and blood, because the spirit does not have blood. He said the spirit does not have flesh and bones. And Jesus doesn't have blood anymore. He shed all his blood for the redemption of mankind. And so in his bones right now is the glory. The glory is flowing in his bones. He shed the blood to redeem us back to God. And the blood is still speaking better things than the blood of righteous Abel. The blood speaks for you. The blood overcomes for you. The blood protects you. The blood provides for you. Can I have an amen? Don't be afraid of anyone that threatens to take your name to a harbor list. The blood of Jesus will speak for you. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Remember, he broke bread with the guys. Now he showed up to the 11 apostles now in Jerusalem and said, hey guys, because they still couldn't believe it was Jesus. Is this a spirit? What are we looking at? He said, do you have any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did it before them, and you can be sure that he blessed it. Amen. Because that's his custom. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They had knowledge before. Now he opened their understanding that they might understand and do. Because whatever you understand, you will do. If you understand the power of tithing, no pastor needs to sweat to teach you and beg you to tithe before you begin to tithe. The Lord actually corrected me some time ago and said, stop telling them when they are going abroad, you have to pay your tithe to this church. You don't need to remind anybody that really loves me and has understanding of my word. How many people have ever reminded you of your tithe? And I said, nobody. He said, so why do you have to remind them? To remind them means they forgot. But many forget. They forget the house where they were fed. And they came to a place of fulfillment. But then they found another place that looks tush and posh. And oh, that we got no business with expression house. I said, Lord, okay, I repent of that. And since I repented of that, man, it's been a whole lot better than what it used to be. I told you I pledged on your behalf we're going to give $1 million. It came like that. Like, in fact, we got 1.250. And so after this service today, please, a lady is leaving and I know she's going to work. Ushers, please give her a pack. Because after this service today, we're going to give about 140 people packs of raw food. And then we're going to give the rest who don't get raw food, cooked food. Amen? It cost about $1 million to do that. And because we are in the will of God, I had it in my heart to do a business in the U.S. Just somebody contacted me last Sunday after service when I got home. Pastor Fred, I've been trying to reach you. Okay, so what's going on? Long story short, they sent me $500,000. And we added money to it almost, to make it almost $1 million. To give 140 people. 150, actually. 150. All you need is a heart for God. A heart that beats for God. If it's in your heart, God will bring it to your hands. I have left the realm of hustling. I don't hustle for anything again in my life. Anything, anything, anything. The only thing that is my priority now is to win souls and to disciple them and to labor in the place of prayer. Because I've come to the understanding of the power of the efficacy of the prayer of one righteous man, according to James 5:16 and according to Hebrews 5:7, Jesus, who in the days of his flesh prayed to God when he had offered up prayers with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard. So whether you come on Monday, which is tomorrow, somebody will say, is Easter Monday? At 3 p.m., whether you come to pray or not, I will be here to pray. Some of you have never mistakenly made it once. And I wonder what your priority is. I wonder what your excuses are. My house is far from church. I'm at work. I'm in school. Some of you are doing nothing within those 2 hours, 3 to 5. I'm having result now than ever before. One of our sisters, she's in this service now. She was here last night. As I made the altar call, people gave their lives, and then I prayed for healing. She came to me after service and said, Pastor Fred, thank you very much. I said, what's that? She said, you know, I had stomach problems before the service, and as you prayed, boom, it happened. I said, glory to Jesus. I didn't even know that she had a stomach issue. I didn't lay hands on her. That's what Jesus can do. And much more. Then opened their understanding, and that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that, listen, he gave them the message to preach. Any other message apart from this one is counterfeit. And today we have many motivational speakers in the pulpit in the name of preachers. They are not preachers. They are motivational speakers. Many of them. People that say things that tingle your flesh, things that you like to hear, nice words, you know, believe in yourself. You gotta, what's that? Where did you get that from? Anything that takes you away from God and puts the attention on yourself? All the self-help mechanism, self-help scripture, I mean, as a scripture, forgive me, self-help preachings that we have in our days. Just think. Think and grow rich. Think and be big. Oh, think big. All those things will not help you in the day of trouble. I mean, you can bet that with me. It will not help you in the day you go to the hospital and it will not be you in the name of Jesus. But somebody goes to the hospital around you and they say they have carcinoma. The doctor say from the test result, we can see carcinoma here. Carcinoma is cancer. They say cancer of the lungs. Can you tell the person, all you need to do now is think. Think and grow cancer free. They will think from that place down to the grave. What message did Christ give them? Look at this. Verse 47. He said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among how many nations? Does that include Nigeria? Beginning at Jerusalem. One of the new creation realities, nonsense preachers, whom one of our members has joined, and they've tried to teach me. So you are beside yourself. Because if your head were correct, you'll not be coming to me with that junk. He said, we don't need to repent. We have been made the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is true. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the righteousness of God in Christ. But can I tell you what? Half-truth is more dangerous than a lie. Because it has the element of truth and the element of a lie. So it's caricature. It's two-faced. You don't really know. Listen to many of them. They don't know what they are. They don't know the exegesis of the scriptures that they are trying to exegete. Any preaching that doesn't have its roots in the blood of Jesus Christ, any preaching that does not point you to the cross, any preaching that does not point you to God as your only help and hope, pointing you to yourself and the power of your mind and the power of your brain, is heretic from its very root. This is what Jesus said to be preached. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father. That's the Holy Spirit. But tarry ye, I send him upon you. Upon you, he said. He's with you, but I will send him upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. Power of the Holy Ghost from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The last work Christ did physically here was to bless the people. He blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Can I have an amen to that? What a very long read, but insightful. And if we share the grace at this point, we're free to go home. Jesus preached repentance. John preached repentance. The apostles preached repentance. You remember in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and they met the man at the gate called Beautiful. And Peter said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. What was the such that he had? He had the name. Repentance must be preached in the name. So when we are preaching the name, we are preaching what Christ said we should preach. He says, such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked. When they arrested them and scourged them and beat them and examined is actually beat them. Peter still preached repentance. He said repentance toward God. Paul preached repentance. My own generation, or plus the younger generation, are saying we don't need repentance. Because we are already perfect the way we are. They try to say when they fall into sin, that is not them, it's their flesh. It's your flesh. We understand it's your flesh. We know it's your flesh. But that your flesh will be arrested and jailed. And they will say that a believer committed, or maybe a pastor committed this sin or committed this offense. Today, what do you hear in our major dailies? Pastor defiled 14-year-old in Delta State. Pastor defiled 12-year-old in Lagos. Pastor defiled 7-year-old, his own daughters, 1-7, 1-13 in Ogun State. And when they cut them, say, no, it's the devil. Or say, it's my flesh, so it's your flesh. It is that flesh we would deal with. When they kill that flesh, where would your spirit go? Will your spirit remain here preaching? Can you see the nonsensical stuff that they preach? Your faith must be founded on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We have so many churches in our country. Why are we one of the topmost countries in the world known for corruption? Because our so-called church elders and leaders are the ones stealing this nation blind. People steal from the government and they take part of the money, a little bit of it, to church and help to complete a building project, hoping that God will look at that and justify them. Does that make sense? One man was caught years ago in the banking industry. They said he was using part of his money to print his church bulletin. Money meant for the Commonwealth of Nigerians. Many children are not able to go to school because you have stolen their money to buy houses in Dubai. You have stolen their money to build mansions around the world, to carry your girlfriends to five-star hotels just for 2-3 nights in some country far away on a chartered plane. Chartered plane. Do you know how people spend money in this country? You have no idea. Because you live in Ibadan, you have no... Please, once in a while, go to Lagos. No. Can I shock you? Every single time I've traveled to Lagos, especially if I had something to do around the Lekki VI area, every single time, I would see a car that I had never before that time seen before. I will later see the car in Ibadan. It might take 2-3 years to see it in Ibadan. I am on the pulpit sharing God's word. I am not exaggerating. I'm not a local person. I travel too. I go abroad, so I know. I'm telling you, the kind of wealth in this country will shock you. There's a segment. Don't let me give you that information. Let's go. That's not why we're here. Let's focus. You know there are people that leave this country Sunday night, they're back Friday evening. They walk overseas, but family is here. They just come home for weekend. And I'm not saying they're going to Ghana. They're not going to Ghana or Cameroon. They're going across the seas, not across the land. Overseas, not overland. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. It's a very long message, but I won't keep you more than necessary. I promise that. I mean, I don't have to finish it today. We'll come back some other time. I mean, I'm thinking we should have a 3-day of just word exposition. And some of these things we should deal with. So we have enough time. Nobody's in a hurry. A Friday, a Saturday, then we finish up Sunday. Do you agree with me? Paul the Apostle had those kind of meetings. That was why he could... You have a whole lot of epistles. That's why they're called epistles. They're very long. Very long. This 45 minutes, 1 hour, it doesn't do much. And people complain. You know, there's somebody, I know somebody who is on my neck, a pastor who is on my neck now. Pastor Fred, cut your messages to 30 minutes, max 40, max. We are saying 1 hour. Some people have refused to change. Is it 30 minutes that will change them? But in Lagos, you can't try what I'm doing in Lagos. Only few people try it. Only few people. Most people just give them bullet points. Boom, boom, boom. Hallelujah. Dance, dance, dance. They go. But when trouble comes, Lagosians know how to travel to Ibadan. They know. I won't mention the name of one of your top people. I know where he comes to pray. You don't know nothing. You think everything ends on social media. Maybe it's what they want you to know they put there. 1 Corinthians 15, Jerry. Are you with me, church? Let's look at verses 12 to 22. I'm going to be very fast with this and then try and wrap this up. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, Paul writing now, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, he has said this before, he was saying it again, repetition for emphasis. Your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Wow. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only... Somebody say only. I'll say like my village people, only we have, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If everything we live for is the stuff of this world, the car, the houses, the jewelry, the mansions, the connections, we are of all men most miserable. If everything is about here, if there's no hope of eternal salvation, if there's no hope that one day we will close our eyes in death in the physical, but we shall open it in life eternal. Behold then the smile on his face. This hope the patriarchs of faith saw afar off and they were delighted. Hebrews 11 gave the gallery of men of faith. One of the verses that shocks me till tomorrow. He says some of them refused deliverance to obtain a better resurrection. What? They were in trouble, yet they refused deliverance. What for? To obtain a better resurrection. Knowing that the afflictions of this time are only temporal. So I will not use the temporal to destroy that which is eternal. If I need to be hungry now, let me starve now so that I will not starve hereafter. I need to deny myself of certain things. I will deny myself. I won't sleep around. No, I will not. If I need to have an extra year, let them give me extra year, but I will not deny my Christ. I will not deny my faith. That's the kind of gospel we should be preaching. So that we can have Christians in offices that will be Christians. Money will not be missing under their coffers. Money will not be missing under the coffers of a Christian brother. People, there was a time in this country that people longed, they desired, they did everything to employ Christians because your money will be complete. Employ Christians as treasurers, as accountants. Today, if you come to me as a pastor and you tell me you are a pastor and you want to do business with me, I will put a question mark, red alert, automatic. Because I have been swindled by a pastor. As I'm sweating now preaching, he's probably preaching in his church. Tongue talking. Does he speak in tongues? Maybe he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. If you hear the tongue, PhD tongue. You know, some tongues, they're like O level. Some tongues are close to interpretation. You can almost interpret them. Barakona, Kudebe, Kilimambano. You can almost interpret them. So, this is what this man saying. Oh, shakara, plenty of shakara. Motivation, top order. Don't worry, you can do it. Do it again. You can go there. Only none of you were there. I look at them and say, where's the place of Christ in this man? You are not dead. You are not yet dead. You are not dead to your sins. You are still very much alive. How will a Christian sister go and meet a brother in church and say, please counsel me. Please follow me up. Please, I want to find Christ. And the next thing, you are having sex with her. Why would a pastor be taking advantage of the members of the church? Any fine girl that comes to church as a first timer, I'm protocol to want him on. They signal the pastor. Okay. Arrange her. That's the one for the night. This same Christ, the Bible says, for we did not so learn Christ. You can't tell today between the wedding reception of believers and the wedding reception of unbelievers. You can't tell. We do the same thing, dance to the same songs, dress the same way, or even worse, after the reception that you have after party. What are you doing there? Dorime. Leku, weku, leku, weku, dorime. Miyere, miyere, miyere. And all of them, braless girls. Maybe pantless also. We have not seen it before, but maybe. And they carry something like a coffin, entering. Do you think that Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, would sit in that kind of reception? Did Jesus not attend a wedding at the marriage in Cana of Galilee? What's wrong with us? So until we do that, we have not done reception. My wife and I got married. You can call us old school. We got married 14 years ago. It's going to be 14 years in December. And even, thank you. Even at that time, all these things had been happening, but not to the point that we have it right now. In our days, there were no after parties, none that I knew of, and I've been in the event industry for years. But we made up our minds that at our reception, there'll be not one worldly song, not one. We had the DJ, we had the musician, and we told both of them Christian songs all through. Those were the days that these guys were running P Square, and their particular song, Ori Yeke Yeke, Ori Ra Da Ra Da. That was the one in vogue that time. When you play it at an event like this, come and see, brother. They'll put Bible beside. Ori Yeke Yeke. No one like you. No one be like you. No one. No one. Ah, people be digging, man. You know, music is so powerful that even you that are speaking in tongues, you know. No. Holy Spirit, no one like you. But we made up our minds. We made up our minds. We would glorify God even with our reception. Can I have believers in this? I'll say amen. Yeah. I pray, I earnestly desire that you would do things differently. Why do people go to gym and when they are posting gym pictures and gym videos, you always have a worldly song in the background? Can't we walk out and have Christian songs in the background? Can't we? Some of you that are fashion designers, when you want to display your works, can't you put a good Christian song in the background? I mean, back in the day, when we gave our lives, there were songs like, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise him. I just want to praise him. Come on. Every praise is due. You have songs. That song, Every Praise, by Ezekiel Walker. One boy in Alabama in the U.S., a 10-year-old boy was kidnapped. So kidnapping happens in America too. It's not just a Nigerian thing. Are you with me? Are you with me? So those of you running to America say, oh, Oluwa, this is America. You delivered me from Nigeria. People are doing kind of funny videos when they go abroad. America is not heaven. It's also part of this earth. The boy was kidnapped. The kidnapper with dreadlocks threw the boy because America, you know, they have surveillance cameras all over the place. So they won't say don't commit a crime, but we'll catch you. Simple. So threw the boy in the car, boom, zoomed off. 10-year-old boy. And he was singing, every praise is to our God, and every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Kidnapper looked at him. You crazy? God, my Savior. Ah. God, he was feeling cool at the back, like the owner of the car. God, my healer. Come on. God, my deliverer. God said, Gabriel, oh yeah, go on. Michael, go on, deliver the boy. He went to drop the boy himself. He was afterwards caught and dealt with. Hezekiah Walker, that's the guy's name, traveled from his state to that boy's state for the Thanksgiving that they held in their church. It's all on YouTube. You don't watch stuff like that on YouTube, do you? Because you don't even know stuff like that exists. Can we celebrate King Jesus starting from today in our lives? That he died for us and not desire the things he saved us from anymore? Can we forsake the evil works of darkness and move on to higher things in God? Colossians 3:1-3 tells us to set our affections on things above. And not on things on the earth. I'm going to close this message. Interestingly, I have only done the intro. I've not done the body. But I'm going to go to the conclusion. Another time, I will go to the body of the message itself. And that's going to be all that I'm going to do. If I attempt to go to the body of the message now, we'll be here till another 1 hour. And I don't want that to happen. All right? I have 8 minutes on the screen. And I want to stop at 8 minutes. What do I want you to do? The summary of this Easter victory, Easter celebration, is that we fell, mankind fell into sin through Adam. Adam was the first man. He committed treason. God made him the governor of the world, all right? And he gave that authority to Satan. So Satan became the governor of the world. He became the god of this world. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. He said, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, whose mind have been blinded by the god, small letter G, of this world. All right? Lest the light of the knowledge of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Let me give you this. When you want to pray for an unbeliever, maybe a member of your family or a friend, you want to pray for them to be born again. Stop saying, Lord, please, please, save him. No, that's not a scriptural prayer. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Somebody say, all men. Right. Your prayer should be, I take authority in the name of Jesus, and I remove the veil covering their heart, and I command the light of the gospel of Christ to shine into them. It's a veil covering their heart. And when I say heart, not the one pumping blood, I mean their spirit. You remove the veil, command the light to shine, and release angels to also release people to surround them with the gospel. It could happen on the bus, on their way to work, somebody preaches Christ to them. They get to work, somebody drops a note, Jesus loves you, that's all, and they walk away. And then on their way back home, somebody comes around and says, well, I was just buying some stuff in the mall, and Jesus said I should buy you this, and it's exactly what they need. They will get back home, break down on their knees and cry and say, Jesus, why do you love me so much? I hate you, but you love me. You keep loving me. Why? I don't even know why, but I give you my heart. I give up. I give up everything. Take my life and do something with it. Boom, they are saved. Are you with me, church? Just do your bit. First bit is to pray. That's by the way. So, Adam messed up, and we all messed up under Adam. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and have come short of the glory of God. And according to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What is wages? Daily salary, daily pay. Do you know up till today, the wages of sin is still death? It hasn't changed. So don't let this generation tell me we're Gen Z. You know, God has changed the standard for this generation. The wages of sin is no longer death, it's now grace. The wages of sin is not grace. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And when you say gift, that suggests the idea that you don't have to work for it. Do you work for a gift? Are you with me? Nobody walks their way into salvation. It comes by grace. Ephesians 2, 4, 5, 6. It is by grace through faith. By grace through faith. By grace. Grace credits your account. Faith, you have to withdraw through the ATM. You make a withdrawal by faith. All right? Even though grace has done it, you still need to obtain it through faith. Are you with me? Healing also is by grace and then through faith. Provision, financial provision, by grace and then through faith. There are times I've had to speak to my business. Business, this month, you got to bring in money. I speak to my phones. Yeah, ring. I don't want nonsensical calls. Business, come in the name of Jesus. Yeah, if you leave it dormant, it's going to be lying dormant. Grace is there hanging, but where is the faith to obtain it? Matthew 11, 12 says, right from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Don't allow your stuff that you have bought with your hard-earned money rot and expire in your shop because of the economy of Nigeria. It's a lie. Economic, innit? Scam. Go to the mall. People are still buying stuff. Some of you work in the mall. Customers still come. People are still traveling abroad. People are still building houses. They're buying cars. God's children ought to do well. It's been paid for. And that's why we work. Because God is not going to bless us. He has blessed us. So we work to provide him an avenue to receive the blessing. We don't work because we want to be blessed. We are already blessed. So we work. We do business to give God something, an avenue, a channel through which for us to receive what God has already given. Are you with me? Confession is work. It's part of it. Start your day every day with your confession. Choose the direction of your day. Don't let life happen to you. Make things happen for you. Don't let life happen to you. So Jesus came as the last Adam and put an end to the hell that Adam brought on us. Man's body didn't know sickness before the fall. But the moment Adam fell, he began to fall sick. Dogs started barking at him. Lions started roaring at him. Adam named all these things. He named the lion, named the elephant, named the cheetah, the hyena. How come they're all chasing man now? How come man is now knowing sickness and disease? How come man is now having lack? Before Adam was formed, the garden was planted. Everything he would ever need was in the garden. How come he's got a hustle now before he eats? How come God said to him, out of the sweat of your face, you got to eat bread? The ground will not produce for you anymore in its strength. It will not yield fruit. The curse was activated. But thanks be to God. I said thanks be to God. Jesus showed up on the scene and in one sacrifice of himself, he put an end to the curse of the law. In one sacrifice, once and for all, and he entered the holiest for us all. As Jesus hung on that cross and shed his blood, the curtain that prevented access to the holiest place got torn into two from top to bottom. Not bottom to top, top to bottom, because that means an angel was involved right there. And he just opened it, ripped it open. And people could now gaze into the holiest of all, which is where the presence of God is. What does that mean? As Jesus sacrificed himself today, you can, in your room, call on the Almighty God. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need Pastor Fred to pray for anything in your life before God will answer. That's humbling for Pastor Fred. What we have in Nigeria today is men of God want to be God of men. As our daddy in the Lord said, as our daddy in the Lord prayed, our daddy in the Lord. One day he will grow old and die. What happens to you? I appreciate fathers. I celebrate my father. I won't go to him every time and say, Baba, you need to pray. I even know my father. He won't even pray. I didn't like him for that before. Why would somebody come to? Because what I was used to was that you always go to your pastor to pray. Jesus has removed the business of the middleman. Your father in the Lord is as much a child to God as you are. God doesn't have grandkids. Did you get what I said? Yes, I'm a child of God. I have a son whose name is Tirenio Lua. He's my son. But as I'm a child to God, he's also a child to God. He's supposed to be a grandchild, but no. Same level. Are you with me, church? Why? Because of the sacrifice of this weekend, which we are celebrating. Hell got Jesus. Because when he came, Acts 10:38 says, he went about doing good. You know, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And God was with him. So Satan thought, is this guy crazy? I put somebody in bondage. You go there, you set him free. Are you mad? You mad, Jesus? Huh? I'm going to blow your head out. Jesus looked at him and said, what did you say? Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. Jesus went to the temple to preach. Oh, no, we know who you are. You are the Son of God. Oh, leave us alone. Our time is not yet up. Get out of him. He was dealing with the devil everywhere. If Jesus mistakenly attended a funeral in your family, he will raise that person back to life. It doesn't matter how many people have been praying for that person to die. Lazarus died. Jesus didn't show up until four days after. They had taken Ankara. They are sent to the designer. They have sent for MC. They've paid advance to Ketra. They've paid event center. They've bought cows. They've sent money to the printer for souvenir. Hey, Ankara, JSMO, 4 yards. Jesus showed up the fourth day. Lazarus, come forth. And he came back to life. Party ended. He ruined the funeral. Jesus, you know some of us are in the events business. We don't want people to die, but somehow. He ruined the funeral. There was a widow of Nain who had an only child. Her husband had died. That's why she was called a widow. An only child. The devil is very wicked. He left the one with 200 children. One with only a child. And he went and killed that boy. Jesus showed up as we were taking him to Songo Cemetery. It stopped the band boys, stopped the music, it touched the coffin. Young man got up, he got up, handed him over to his mom.
What?
Great joy. He ruined the funeral.
He himself now died.
No, before he died, Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old, Mark chapter 5. On the way to go and heal her, she was still alive. A woman came, interrupted the journey. She got her healing, boom, by touching the hem of his garment. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Peter said, Master, Jairus, his daughter, about to, Master, may we go, quick. No, Okada, may we go, quick. And Jairus was almost wee-weeing in his pants, like, I left my daughter at home at the point of death. This man, let's go. And the woman, you know, thank God for women with testimonies.
Praise Master Jesus. This condition has been for 12 years. I have been to Babalawo. I have been to all the hospitals. I've done all kinds of treatment. Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, dryotherapy. To dry the blood. Dryotherapy. Have you heard that before? And she said, the Bible says she told him the whole truth. How many minutes do you think a 12-year-old testimony will take? It's not the kind of testimony you share in expression also. It's a whole service. And Jesus stayed there and listened to every detail of the testimony. Jairus was wee-wee in his pants. Ah, this girl would have died now. Before she finished sharing the testimony, they brought news. I don't know how far. They traveled from Jairus' house, brought news and said, don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. Leave him alone. Let's go. Let's go and find how we'll bury the girl. Abi, we have lost her. And Jesus turned to him and said, stop the fear. Only believe. Only believe. All right, sir. The first thing Jairus said was the last thing he said. What was the first thing he said? Master, come to my house, lay your hands on my daughter. Lay your hands. He specifically said, lay your hands on my daughter and she shall be made whole. That was the last thing he said. He didn't go back to change his faith and say, she's dead now. We are suffering buccal discharge sometimes. Some of us are suffering from verbal diarrhea. We talk too much. Jesus went with him to his house. The girl had died this time. Glory be to God. It didn't matter to him whether she was sick or she was dead. Girl, Talitha Kumi. You within the Talit, rise up. The girl came back to life, 12 years old. Oh, yeah, give her something to eat. Let's go. Then he died himself. He ruined that funeral. Then he now died. He died. He himself died. Hell was very happy. We've caught our enemy. To fear kwa. Chineke na poyogu. Come up to fear. This stupid man. He's just releasing everybody. Setting everybody free. Feeding the poor. Satan made them hungry. Jesus fed them. In one place, he said to them, give them something to eat. One of the apostles said, master, where? We're in the wilderness. 200 penny worth of bread cannot feed this multitude. One, two, we're in the wilderness. No bakery here. How can you be giving somebody impossible task? One time, you know, as a disciple of Christ, you have no room for excuse. No holidays, if. I can imagine Peter and John coming up with the scheme, and they came to Jesus and said, Master, we'll not be able to follow you for evangelism today. He said, why? He said, we have a headache. He said, but my stripes are healed. No excuse. No, we are hungry. Father, I thank you. What do you have there? Only one kuli kuli. Father, thank you. Multiplied. Impossible is nothing with this Jesus. That's the Jesus we are celebrating today. Are you with me, church? That's our King. That's our Master. That's our friend. That's our Savior. That's our kinsman redeemer. He's our healer, our comforter, our advocate, our lawgiver, our King, our soon coming King. Give him praise in the house of God. I preach myself happy. Glory be to God. He died. Hell was rejoicing. We've got him finally. Satan called for all the demons. They came together in a party. They were jamming. Breaking dance. They were breaking. They looked at the body. Oh, there. You'll be son of God, son of God. Oh, yeah? Help yourself now. Come on. Give me some red wine there. They were shocking. They won. The two party continued. They increased jollof rice in hell.
But on the third day, the voice from glory came. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews captured it in chapter 1. He saith unto him, when he bringeth forth the first begotten of the dead into the world, today have I begotten you, thou art my son. Thou art my son. And today have I begotten you. Jesus was the first born again man from the dead. That's why he's the firstborn in our family. So if anybody becomes born again today, you line up in the family behind Jesus. Amen. Is the first begotten of the dead. The first begotten. God said, today! Thank you, media. For unto which of the angels? Did he ever say that to any of the angels? At any time, you are my son? Gabriel, you are my son? No, never. Michael, you are my son? No, never. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be. God still speaking. He said, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He was saying that to Jesus as he was lying lifeless in hell. Next verse. Verse 6. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world. This is not when he was born at Christmas. No, this is when he got born again. Born again. First begotten into the world. He saith. What did God say? This was what he said that killed all hell. This was what Satan and his cohorts heard because they were angels. God said, let how many angels? Does that include Lucifer? Does that include all the angels that rebelled with him? Let how many of the angels? All the angels of God. Because they were all angels of God. God made them. They didn't make themselves. They chose to rebel. They were angels of God. The moment the Father said, let all the angels of God worship him, they bow down in worship. Satan and all hell. And Jesus rose triumphantly. Now conquered Satan. Conquered all the devils. Dealt with them one after the other. Dealt with all of them. He then led captivity captive. He led Satan through the streets of hell. He removed Satan's boxer shorts. Everything was dangling. And he showed him to all the demons. Look at your master. He's defeated. All of them all defeated. They saw their master helpless. Once your master is helpless, all the followers helpless. Great Lucifer. Great Lucifer. Lucifer could not help himself. He could not help himself anymore. Lucifer. They say, great Lucifer, you cannot fight. He say, I cannot fight. I cannot fight again. And Jesus rose triumphantly. And he got us. He got you. 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 He got me. He got you. He got you. He got you. The victory. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Hallelujah.
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 Praise the one Arabo, who set me free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the God of the Araba.
Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation.
Jesus, Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand on the existing protocol of heaven, which tells us in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11, that at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow of beings in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth, and that every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That Yeshua HaMashiach is Yad-Heh-Vav-Heh to the glory of Yad-Heh-Vav-Heh the Father. We bring to this table now, Lord, everything you died for. And we obtain the victory by faith. That as we partake of these communion elements, which are ordinary in themselves, but extraordinary in your hands, that the supernatural will begin to happen in the life of everyone that partakes of this. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you watching online or listening online via MixLR, get yourself some biscuits and some juice or soda, whatever you can, now, and connect with us. Get something to chew and something to drink, whatever. Even if it's water, get bread, whatever you can get. And so the same anointing in this place will be transmitted to you wherever you are, into those elements. As I lay hands on these ones as a point of contact, let everyone receive whatever it is that they need, which Christ's blood has paid for, which his body has been broken for, in the name of Jesus. 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 In the